Hello there, Bernie Binkless with you. I hope you had a great weekend. Wasn't so much of a good weekend for the Kansas City Chiefs and their fans who are scattered all over the place, including St. Louis. But Chiefs still have had a heck of a season, have been on a heck of a run. Congratulations to Philadelphia Eagles. They were absolutely dominant. Man, they just kicked butt. I was wrong on that pick, but if I got all my football picks right, I would not be talking to you. I would not be writing columns. I would be on an island right now, sipping on a nice tropical drink, I suppose, something to that effect. So can't get them all done. But I do pretty good with these things. Anyway, I want to talk a little baseball. Something caught my eye over the weekend because I'm always reading. Just read. And the Bleacher Report is part of their preseason baseball package, or I should say, you know, spring training package going into spring training. Zachary D. Reimer, who has been a Bleacher Report baseball writer for a while, does a really good job. He ranked all 30 owners of Major League Baseball franchises. He ranked all 30 from 1 to 30, 1 being the best. And the top 10 in order were the Dodgers, the Mets, the Braves, the Astros, the Phillies, the Yankees, and in number seven ranking, St. Louis Cardinals, and then followed by the Red Sox, Cubs, and Rangers. Two things there. You know, I'm surprised to see the Mets there, you know, ranked second. I know why, because Steve Cohen will spend just whatever he wants to spend. He's one of the wealthiest people in the world in order to win games. But until David Stearns arrived, they weren't real smart about spending their money, and they're going to win. But they haven't really won that much yet. I mean, they did get to an NLCS, but so I'm surprised to see him number two. But maybe because the spending power has a lot to do with it. And Steve Cohen really, truly does love the Mets. So anyway, Bill DeWitt, seventh on that list. And it only surprised me, and I'm going to have a hard time explaining this. It only surprises me because although if those of you who watch this and who really get angry or upset or disappointed with me, whatever, when I defend DeWitt up to a point and always try to be fair by reminding everyone, you know, the 29 seasons he's owned the team, it's actually been really good. The last few seasons at least have not been really good. And they've lost their touch as far as getting to the playoffs, and then winning in the playoffs. I do not in any way, shape, or form have a problem with people who are ticked off about the fact the Cardinals are no longer a postseason factor. And the only thing I would ask before you get mad at me again, just politely ask, is please try to remember, if you can, all the times I've been ripping Bill DeWitt the last few years about letting the farm system fall apart, letting the player development system go south, letting a team like the Milwaukee Brewers, even though the Cardinals outspend them by $475 million since 2017, the Cardinals have outspent them by $475 million. They have won more division titles and made the playoffs more often than the Cardinals. There's no excuse for that. That's because Bill DeWitt has kept John Mozeliak in place. The Cardinals, their model is outdated. It's stale. It doesn't work. It's okay at best. But they've been way too slow to adapt and change and do what's necessary. So if you are going to listen to what I'm about to say and you're going to condemn the remarks, you can condemn anything you want. But you know, the thing, and I admit it, I just get tired of it. You know, I can't say the same thing every single day, like when it comes to evaluating Bill DeWitt and all the things that have displeased me and all the things that I have criticized him for, and all of the things that he could have done better, he could have done differently to prevent this downturn that they're on right now. So I've had a lot to say. In fact, I've been far more critical than anybody else in the media in this town. I mean, not even close. And yet it's weird because whenever I try to be fair in my overall assessment, you know, you get the usual stuff because people can't remember because they don't want to remember it or they refuse to remember it. Or they have some reason think that all I do is praise Bill DeWitt. Nothing's further from the truth. But I'm fair and I'm reasonable. And I also have lived through the last 29 seasons of Bill DeWitt's era here in St. Louis. And I remember covering quite a lot of special seasons, special teams, special players, special memories, huge wins. I mean, so much success, so much fun time at the ballpark too. So I don't see, unlike some people, I don't flush that down the toilet because they got a little complacent or they got a lot complacent and they let this thing slide, which shame on them for doing that. But I don't flush away everything over the last 29 years because of that. You know, I don't live exclusively in the moment. I like to have a sense of history when I evaluate something, right? If there is a history. So with that said, here's what Reimer wrote after mentioning some of the aspects of the Cardinals' positive record, their body of work during the 29 seasons that Bill DeWitt has owned the team. Quote, "This is an extraordinary track record, and even recent history only does so much to taint it. It wasn't long ago that the Cardinals made four straight postseasons between 2019 and 2022, and it speaks to the club's high floor that even an 83-win season in 2024 was a letdown." And I know what the contrarian view is because I have actually espoused some of it, but I just don't go to the extreme level of nonsense that others do. I think a lot of fans would disagree with the ranking. You can, hey, if you want to rank Bill DeWitt 30th, go ahead. I don't care. Because the Cardinals haven't won a postseason series since 2019, and that's their only postseason series win since beating the Dodgers, pardon me, in the NLDS back in 2014, which is something I've mentioned, oh, I don't know, maybe 150, 200 times. So the Cardinals, again, the postseason success has been very, very limited. It's been very, very disappointing. They're cutting payroll this season, which I don't have a huge problem with, not as much as the other people, the outrage farmers on X or whatever. Because when you're trying to scale down to put money into your farm system player development, which you have to do because they allowed it to get rickety. They allowed it to get dilapidated and outmoded, outdated. The facilities stink. Technology's way behind. And analytics operation, short-staffed, way behind. They had to do it. They're putting a lot of money into it. See, they describe this as a reset, and it's really not a reset. And I did a video last week saying, listen, if you're trying to advertise a reset and it's not a reset, then you should at least put some money into the team now. Because if you're trying to win, well, then try to win. I was willing to accept the fact that sometimes you take a step back, you take a couple steps back, you get a little worse before you get better. Because the player development, the revival of that is an absolute must. It's mandatory. It's not optional. And I'm glad that Bill DeWitt's finally doing it. Too late, but he's finally doing it. So I didn't really care about the payroll this year. I'm not a payroll obsessive for many reasons, including the one that I always like to give you. If payroll was the start and the finish and the middle, the beginning and the ending, it was the end all, be all, everything, then why the hell are the Cardinals worse than the Milwaukee Brewers since 2017, even though they have outspent the Brewers by $470 million? Again, I'm not a payroll obsessive. I'm just not. You can be. I don't have to join you. So I wasn't concerned about the payroll, although I think now, given the way they have clearly evolved in their position of the so-called reset, and I was pretty much the first person in the media to call BS on that. It's not really a reset. So it can become one as the season goes on, depending on what they do. Maybe they'll decide to offload some walkier talent. I don't know. But if you're going to actually act like this is, you're in it to win it or whatever, well, why don't you try to improve the team a little bit? You don't even have to go crazy. Just try to improve the team. Spend a little bit, upgrade some spots, get yourself a stronger bullpen, stronger bench. But anyway, this got me to thinking about what Zach Reimer said, because I do think, and I've said this, I've done a video on this, and I don't think Cardinals fans are, quote, spoiled. I push back on that. They have every right to express their frustration and their disappointment, to also criticize, as I have many times, Bill DeWitt for letting this thing deflate when it didn't have to be like that. But I'm not an extremist with this, and I just don't get as carried away with that as some people do, and some people, I repeat, can do whatever you want. I don't have to co-sign on it. You know, this DeWitt sell the team, those people, the people that depict him as like, you know, maybe like the worst owner in pro sports or whatever. I try to stay away from like reading too much of the toxic extremist positions, because at first they make me laugh, but then it makes me like you know, question the future of mankind, because it's just so, it's so over the top loony that, you know, you just wish people could have a view that just was more reasonable, even if it's critical, but just more reasonable. So you know, I was looking at this and, you know, what Zach Reimer wrote, I was surprised. Maybe I wasn't surprised, because I think the view of the Cardinals outside of the fan base is actually more positive than inside the fan base. I could be wrong, but that's my impression. So I'm not surprised that someone on the outside, in effect, saying, you know, it's you know, it's not great right now, but my gosh, y'all have had a lot of great baseball teams to root for over the last 29 years, and that's totally correct. So I want to get into that a little bit, because I need to update this. I've talked about it. I think it's good to update it a little bit. So he's owned the team 29 seasons. He's about to enter the 30th season. In 29 seasons of the DeWitt ownership, the Cardinals ranked fourth in the majors and third in the National League in regular season winning percentage. Now, this includes their down years. Even with the down years, they are fourth in winning percentage in the majors, third in the National League. All right, the Cardinals have made the playoffs 17 times since DeWitt and partners purchased the team before the 96 season. That's 17 post appearances over the past 29 seasons. That's tied for third most in the majors with the Dodgers. The only franchise that have qualified for the postseason more times than DeWitt's team are the Yankees and the Braves. But even those teams have had some issues. And, you know, based on the Yankee standards, they've had some problems based on their standards. And they only spent about a gazillion dollars over that time, right? The Braves had four consecutive losing seasons from 2014 through 2017. And they weren't close to contending in any of those years. I think the closest they were in terms of games out of first place was like 17 games out, okay? And the Yankees, despite a massive payroll advantage on most teams, haven't won a World Series since 2009 and have made it to just one World Series over the last 15 seasons. The Yankees' one league pennant since 2010 has been matched by Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Arizona, Philadelphia, Cubs, Washington, Detroit, and the New York Mets. In fact, Kansas City has won more pennants than the Yankees since 2010, despite that humongous gap in their payroll power. In 29 seasons with DeWitt as the owner, the Cardinals have competed in 150 postseason games. That's most by a National League team and second only to the Yankees overall. The Cardinals' 75 postseason wins under DeWitt since 1996 are number one in the National League and third overall to the Yankees and the Astros. And it took a guy that Bill DeWitt hired, Jeff Luhnow, who then went to Houston to become the general manager. That's the reason why they're the Astros are ahead of the Cardinals in postseason wins over this time, because one of DeWitt's discoveries, one of his guys, went there to turn their operation around after they had started to fall apart. And then he started to fall apart, and he's gone. So the Cardinals 75 postseason wins under DeWitt since he's been the owner, number one in the NL, third overall to the Yankees and Astros. DeWitt's franchise brought a lot of home playoff games to downtown St. Louis since 1996, ranking second in the National League and third overall for most postseason home games. The Cardinals 43 postseason home wins since 1996, number two to the Dodgers in the National League and third overall to the Yankees. And let me just say this. I was at every single one of those home postseason games at one of the Busch stadiums, the current one or the previous one, and had an incredibly good time. I had a ball writing about those teams. I was able to witness as many as most of you have, or many of you have, whatever. I'm smearing up my words here. Sorry. I was able to witness so many amazing games, so many wonderful moments and just epic performances, all these incredible memories over long stretches of postseason baseball at the two Busch Stadium since DeWitt took over in 1996. Since he, like I said earlier, those were some of the best times I've ever had in this business. It was just a treat. It was a thrill to watch those teams, and their success went on like uninterrupted for a long, long time. And I considered it a privilege to be able to have a great seat and to be able to chronicle those teams. And see, I don't forget about that. Okay. I don't forget about that because it wasn't all that long ago. So I'm well aware of their failures in recent years, because I have gotten out the horn and went to sound the alarm on it. I haven't been happy with this at all, but it's happened. And I'm going to say I'm being redundant, but I'm going to keep beating the point home. You can complain all you want. I'm going to continue to do it because they're in a downturn that, yes, he could have prevented, and it's his fault ultimately. It doesn't mean everything else that happened before that should be disregarded. I can't live in an extreme, crazy world like that. Maybe other people can. I just can't do it. I won't do it. So I loved all those great times at the ballpark, all those deadline columns, you know, going crazy with all the pressure on. It was just, those are the things you remember. The Cardinals have won 4 National League pennants and 2 World Series titles with DeWitt as chairman. And I know that, they haven't won a pennant since 2013. Yeah, I know. I'm well aware of that. They haven't won a World Series since 2011. Yep. Know it. Absolutely. Tip the cap. Know it. But despite the downturn that I've referred to now about 5 or 8 times in this video so far, that still holds up pretty well. Since 1996, the Cardinals, Giants, and Dodgers are tied for first in the National League with 4 pennants. There's some people in the American League that have done as well, but I'm talking about the National League because you got to win the pennant to get to the World Series. So I'm just confining this one little thing to the National League. So the Cardinals has won. They have won as many pennants as anybody in the National League since 1996, along with the Giants and the Dodgers. The Cardinals' 2 World Series wins over the past 29 seasons are topped only by the Giants' 3 championships. The Dodgers also have as many, 2, as the Cardinals. So do the Marlins, who were owned by the massive spending Wayne Huizenga during those years. But then when he sold the team, it has fallen into a sad state of affairs. And the Marlins have gone down the tube since then, making the playoffs twice over the last 21 seasons. I was looking at something else because I remember, having some conversations with Tony La Russa about the various philosophies and Whitey Herzog too, for that matter. So what does it take to make the playoffs? And it wasn't a trick. It wasn't a trick question. And Tony, in particular, was very pragmatic and methodical in his answer, which I appreciate. He says, well, the first thing you do is have a winning record. He says, you can't have a losing season. And he said, if you got a kind of club that just can avoid losing seasons, even if you're not at your best, even if you can have a winning record, you're going to at least have a fighting chance. You're going to have a chance to get yourself in a postseason race. And as La Russa would say, that's not the goal. The ultimate goal is to win a championship, get in the playoffs and win the pennant, then go to the World Series, take your best shot. He said, but it all starts with, hey, you can't have a losing record. So his point was in St. Louis, where he was managing, he had a couple losing records. In fact, I think he had 3 losing records. And he just knows that eliminates you. You got no chance if that happens. So I don't take that lightly because, again, I'm not an extremist. I'm not saying that that's your goal to have a winning season. There are many, 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 many larger goals than that. But the process starts by having a winning season and avoiding losing seasons. If you can get that record over 500, you at least set yourself up to maybe make this late charge for a playoff spot. I don't know. But I do know this. If you have a losing record, you got no chance, nada, to make the playoffs. At least during the Bill DeWitt era. And I'll get back to that in a minute. I was surprised by what I found. I really was. I was surprised by what I found when I did my research earlier today. During DeWitt's time as the owner, 24 of the 30 major league franchises have had at least 10 losing seasons. That means 80% of the major league franchises have had double-digit losing seasons since 1996. Double-digit. Half of the franchises, 15, have been pushed around through at least 14 losing seasons since 1996. That's half the franchises in baseball have had at least 14 losing seasons over the last 29 years. And only 6 teams have had fewer than 10 losing seasons. Only 3 teams have had fewer than 5 losing seasons since 1996. Yankees haven't had any. To their credit, tip of the cap. I would hope so with that payroll budget. The Dodgers have had only 3, and the Cardinals have had only 4 losing seasons. with Bill DeWitt as the owner. 1997, 99, 2003, and 2000. I had that part wrong. Excuse me, 2007 and 2023. That's it. Sorry about that. My typos. 1997, 1999, 2007, and 2023. So it's kind of funny, too. You know, if you go back to the start of the 2000 season, it covers 25 years of baseball. The three teams that have the fewest losing seasons in the majors are the Yankees with none and the Cardinals and the Dodgers with two. Over the 25 seasons, 22 of the 30 big league franchises have had at least 10 losing seasons. 13 have had more losing seasons than winning seasons. And more on point locally, 27 franchises have had more losing seasons than the Cardinals over the last quarter century. Now, let me repeat what I was saying, if I could. I think it matters for an obvious reason, not counting the COVID shortened season in 2020 when two teams with losing records made it. You throw that one out because it wasn't a regular season. Excluding 2020, no major league team. And again, I'm tracking this since 96 because that's when DeWitt became owner. No major league team with a losing record has made the postseason since 96. No 500 team has made it. Either. The worst record to make the postseason over the last 29 years was 82 and 80. So as Tony La Russa said, and I told you what he said, and I'm going to repeat it, you got to be above 500 to at least even have a chance of playing the postseason. At minimum, you have to grind out a winning record. And a winning record is not the goal. It is not the goal. It's the first goal. It is not the goal. It is, however, the first goal. But it's a mandatory requirement to even have a larger goal that includes postseason baseball and postseason success. So I'm not here to change any minds, but like I said, I'm not going to, you know, kind of cower under all the people that are screaming for DeWitt to sell the team and make his ownership tenure a hell of a lot worse than it is, because it's actually been really, really good. And it's interesting because if you talk to people on the outside, they recognize this. I think we get so insulated. We're in our bubble. And it's like the last, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, you know, that distorts maybe our view of how good overall it has been. But you can believe what you want. I just thought it was funny because the first thing I did was laugh because I'm like, oh, boy. Bleacher Report says seventh best owner in baseball. Oh, doesn't he know that? Bill DeWitt, doesn't he know that this is the worst owner in the history of professional sports? Gosh, what is wrong with this, Zach Reimer? Bill DeWitt, you know, he needs to do this over. You know, he needs to write about how Bill DeWitt has destroyed the franchise. And all hope is lost forever. And the baseball fans of St. Louis have just been gone through hell. And this is just a hellscape where nothing ever as good has happened with baseball since Bill DeWitt took over. And that Bill DeWitt, he inherited such a great team from Anheuser-Busch. Oh, that's right, he didn't. They were pretty bad. He inherited such a great team from Anheuser-Busch, and then he destroyed everything, and it's still destroyed. They're like the Pittsburgh Pirates of the Midwest or something like that out there in cuckoo land. I can't live there with you. I'm sorry. I don't think – I actually think that's a really loud minority – that says this kind of junk. I don't think they believe it. They're trying to score fake tough guy points on social media. But it's good for me because I've been pretty critical to DeWitt in a lot of ways. And I'm not as critical as some of you would like, because your idea of criticism is me to scream about, hey, DeWitt, sell the team. You're a disgrace. You have betrayed St. Louis. You've never done anything well. You know, you're living on past accomplishments. I don't get into you know, fake ride 'em cowboy, you know, tough guy stuff on X. I don't do that. You know, I don't. Who needs it? Don't need the followers. Don't just not trying to do the hot take thing to get attention. You know, what's funny though, it's gotten so strange in St. Louis, but by me actually saying, you know what, over the 29 years, Bill DeWitt ownership era has actually been pretty damn good. It just hadn't been good lately, and he's got to fix it. And he waited too long to fix it, but at least now he's trying to fix it. So that's the first step to coming back. But maybe I am a hot take guy now. That's how warped all this is. You know, where in this day and age, if you dare kind of like someone who's been incredibly successful over a long period of time, you know, and they're in a lull now, but, you know, a long period of time, if you're successful and, you know, I repeat, fourth best winning percentage in the majors over 29 years, right there. What is it? What did I say? I can't even remember it now. The top three in postseason, well, made the playoffs 17 times, tied for third most in the majors. The only franchise that qualified more often than DeWitt or the Yankees and the Braves. And, you know, the Cardinals, 150 postseason games, most by a National League team, 75 postseason wins, number one in the National League, third overall, four pennants, two World Series. I think it's been pretty good overall. I think if you if this was kind of like a sports book or like you're putting down your bets and you bet on the Cardinals, you would have made some money, a lot of money over the years. But the last few years, no, disappointing. The last couple of years, 22nd in winning percentage. I repeat, have won only one postseason round since 2014, the first round there when they beat the Dodgers. So there's some work to do. And once again, Bill DeWitt let it slide, and it didn't have to happen. And that's the thing that upsets me. But I also know that this has been a really, really strong era of Cardinals baseball. In fact, if you would permit me to close this out, because I had one more thing to share. I was thinking about this. It's like, you know, if we're talking about success through, well, since the beginning of the franchise, frankly, who are the three most accomplished owners of the St. Louis Cardinals? I would rank the number one guy. I think Bill DeWitt would absolutely rank the number one guy as Sam Breeden. He owned the Cardinals 1920 through 1947, and between 1926 and 1946, six World Series and nine National League pennants. That's extraordinary. He sold the team. He also brought in, he took Branch Rickey off the field. I think he was a coach and put him in the front office. And Branch Rickey became a revolutionary Major League Baseball changing general manager with the advent of the farm system. He was also the first general manager to bring in, oh my gosh, here's a dirty word, hide the children, cover their ears. He also was the first general manager in baseball history to hire an analyst, fancy stats guy. You know, Branch Rickey did a lot of things, were innovative and way ahead of his time. That's why, frankly, I just continue to laugh at these people that just like, oh, that's analytics. You know, that stuff is rotten. It's rotten to the core. That analytics, that's what's ruined the Cardinals and it's ruined baseball. When in fact, the Cardinals started falling behind because they fell way behind in terms of analytics and having all the advanced tools and methods you need to maintain an edge against all the other teams. And people that say this don't even understand the irony of them saying this. This is the franchise that put Branch Rickey in the front office, who changed Major League Baseball forever. And he did some things that had some other teams going, what is this guy's crazy? What does he do? What is this minor league system? He can't do that. That gives him an advantage. What, he's got this guy doing all these numbers. What is that all about? Yeah. So it's like, I just wish people would know their own franchise history, right? Is that too much to ask? Anyway, I had to get a couple things off my chest. So I would put Sam Breeden number one. I don't think there's any question about that, right? Then, you know, there was a downtime after those three World Series championships in the 40s. And then Gussie Bush bought the Cardinals in 1953. He died in 1989. He wasn't really running things through 1989. You know, he was certainly running things through 1982 when they won the World Series with Whitey. But then the Brewery kind of installed a president to take over. I forget all their names by now. But Gussie was failing in health and, you know, was having a difficult time. And, you know, he just kind of eased his way to the side. And they had business people now taking over the franchise. And then that's when it started to change. But if we just go by, you know, 1953, and I'll even give Gussie credit for a couple of these pennants in 85 and 87. If you go 1953, 1953 to 1987, six National League pennants and three World Series, six National League pennants and three World Series. But I would put DeWitt third on that list, and he's got nothing to apologize for as far as his place in those rankings. Four National League pennants, two World Series, playoffs, made the playoffs 17 out of 29 years, number one in the National League, in so many categories, including, postseason wins, unless I just screwed that up again. I don't know why I keep screwing that up. Yep, most postseason wins in the National League during his tenure as the owner. So on and on and on. But I just wanted to, dive into this. It seemed like a good day to do it. I didn't want to talk about the Super Bowl. I didn't want to talk about Nolan Arenado. I got a couple of other things I want to talk about. We'll get to tomorrow. But thank you for watching. I apologize for me repeating some things. But it's one of these days where I just wanted to kind of pound home the message because, sometimes people fast forward through different parts of the video. I'm trying to do shorter videos. This was not one of them, but we'll get out of here and I'll shut up now. And I thank you very much for watching and we'll be back tomorrow. Take care and thank you for subscribing to The Bernie Show here on YouTube.